28 tonight. You ain't drank out of that, have you? I don't want no cooties. Amen. Thank you, thank you. Look here, I'll take another and somebody's got it. Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much. Acts chapter 28, if you're there, say amen. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight for a little while. And if God would help us for a little while tonight, I want to begin, go back and continue to preach on what we began last Wednesday night. And I want to look at this and preach on how to hold on to your honey hole. And you say, preacher, where's honey hole come from? Well, they've just come out of a storm and they've just come out of a shipwreck. Now they're on an island. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 28, when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. Now, Melita literally means sweet refuge. So that's where we've got our thought, how to hold on to your honey hole. Pray with me and pray for me tonight. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank the opportunity to be here tonight. Now, God, I need your help. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I can't help these people. God, it does not matter if I got the greatest outline ever been written. Lord, unless I have an inline and I get some help from the Holy Ghost, God, I can't help myself nor nobody else. So, Lord, please, for a little while here tonight, God, would you take my feeble efforts, Lord, and bless them. And most of all, would you take me and use me. Lord, may I be clothed in the power of God. And God, may I be just a mouthpiece that you would say what you want to say and do what you want to do. And God, that you'd reach into the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And God, as I try to preach this one message, Lord, you'd preach every how many's here. That's how many messages would be preached, Lord, through you to us here tonight. We'll thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. For it's in Jesus' name that we do ask and pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated. We understand in Acts chapter number 27, the Bible let us know that Paul has told these men and told the owner of the ship and told those who were in control and in charge that it was not a good time to sail. But nevertheless, the Bible said they believed the owner and the master of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And so we looked at that shipwreck as a type of the church. And of course, Paul being the preacher, the prisoners being the church members, that's a pretty good outline right there. That goes together good. And the ship being the church overall. And so Paul's preaching, but they do not listen. And the end result was what? Well, they're shipwrecked. They go through the storm, but they are shipwrecked. Now, Paul made them a promise because God made Paul the promise that the ship would be destroyed, or the church, if you will, would be destroyed, but each man in his life would be spared. Can I say this tonight? If you're not careful, you will overemphasize your salvation and forget about your job concerning everybody else. I never want to reach the place where I am on my way to heaven, so the only thing that matters to me is me. But my friend, we have been placed here to bring honor and glory to God and to help and be a blessing to one another. My friend, it's very important that we stick together in order to avoid shipwreck. But nonetheless, after the storm and after the shipwreck, now we find ourselves in chapter number 28. And the Bible said they have lodged and landed upon the island of Melita. Melita meaning sweet refuge. And typology is another image and another picture of the church being a honey hole. Can I say I believe this to be one? I believe that. Now listen, if you attend here and you don't, you're missing out. This is a sweet place. Do we got it all together? Absolutely not. Do I have it all together? Sure don't. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God has been good to this place, and God is faithful to show up to this place, and God is faithful to work in this place, and because of the things God has done for us and in us and through us in this place, I believe it is worth holding on to. Can I get a witness tonight? And so we're looking at this chapter, if we could, in typology again as a picture and a type of the church. Now we understand this, that my friend, before when they failed, they let their church down and the thing blew all to pieces. They were shipwrecked. It's because they failed in their going, they failed in their gabbing, they failed in their giving, so on and so forth. But now on the other side, there is something worth holding on to. I said it last week, I won't re-preach it, but just hit the high points. We're living in a day and hour where the church is everything but a honey hole. We live in a day where the church is filled full of heinous and hidden crimes and sin. We live in a day where it's a Hollywood scene or a heretical, heretic, heresy-filled substitution of sanctuary. Listen, I'm glad to report to you tonight that by God's good grace, we're going to hold fast to what God has established us, not only in, but what we are established on, and that is the Word of God tonight. What makes this place so sweet is not necessarily who comes here, but it is what we stand on tonight. The truth of the Word of God. Did you know the truth will set you free? I ain't going to re-preach this either, but boy, I'm glad I'm not bound by religion. I mean, thank God I'm not. Listen, I don't have to endure coming to church. Now, if you do, bless your heart, you're missing out. I mean, being a Christian can be a joy-filled, victorious life. I'm not moping around because I have to come. I'm glad that I get to come to church, friend. If I got what I deserve, church sure wouldn't be where I ended up. I mean, this is a sweet place, and I thank God for it. And so we looked at this idea last week. We didn't get very far. We got to point number one. Tonight we'll pick up and try to move forward. But can I say this? Last week we went over on how to hold on to your honey hole. First of all, we begin to look and we begin to see this. If you're going to hold on to your honey hole, you have to learn to move cautiously. Can I say, friend, that it is here in chapter number 28. The Bible lets us know down around verse number three, the Bible said this, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So what he's saying, well, my friend, if we're going to hold on to the rich things and the sweet things that God has given us and at the church that he's placed us in, not only are we going to have to go through storms and we're going to have to survive and overcome shipwreck, but we got to look out for snakes, friend. There are snakes that are just around the bend. I mean, if anybody thought it's finally over, praise God. I mean, it's rained and stormed. I mean, the sun nor the moon nor the stars shine for many days. It's cold and raining. My friend Paul is worn down. Those prisoners are about to give up and give in. But finally, they make it to the honey hole. They make it to a sweet place of refuge. And it is there when Paul is trying to stoke the fire that the snakes crawl out. Does everybody see that? Can I say this? You got to learn to move cautiously, or the biblical word would be circumspectly. Ephesians 5, we know this. The Bible said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord for you? The will of the Lord for you is to be faithful to Him in all things. The will of God for your life, listen to me, this is going to give you great victory. The will of God for your life is instant obedience. I mean, whatever God says now, that's what you do. Amen. Has anybody ever made your mind up you was going to do something for God, and then when it come time to do it, God told you to do maybe a little more or a little less or maybe do it a little differently? Can I say, listen, you can do the right thing at the wrong time and be out of the will of God. You can do the right thing at the right time. Be out of the will of God. If God is not the one that is maneuvering and motivating you, and He is not in charge of what you are doing, my friend, you can do good things and still be out of the will of God. But there are some things that we can do to hold on to our honey hole. First of all, we looked. You got to move cautiously. You got to learn to move cautiously. And we used that illustration last week. You got to learn to be cautious or circumspect. And we used that illustration about how Brother Eddie White used it best I ever seen, I guess. If you're a deer hunter, you know it to be true. How them little fawns will come out and they're bebopping through the woods. They ain't paying attention to nothing. You can stand up and try to shoo them off, and they're so ignorant to, they're so unlearned and ignorant to the danger that is out there. They'll look at you and just go back to doing what they're doing. But mama doe don't do that. Oh, mama doe sniffing and snorting and slobbering from the very moment she steps out of the shadows to where you might be. She's on high alert because she's been struck at, she's been shot at, she's been strategically planned to be a ribeye somewhere or another and survive. So she learns to move circumspectly. Why do we learn to move cautiously last week? Number one, because of the appearance of the serpent. He is very patient. Yeah. You notice he don't strike right at the beginning of this thing. The devil don't come out right at the very start. He waits till Paul is about to die. They've been in this storm. They fasted for 14 days. They had nothing to eat. I mean, they have wearied the storm and barely survived shipwreck. That's when the snake crawls out. You better learn to move cautiously because of the appearance of the serpent. Or secondly, because of the attack of the serpent. Thirdly, lastly, we've seen this. The serpent attacked when Paul was weary. Paul was working and Paul finally was getting warm. You ever feel like you're finally getting on the upper end of things? You're warming up. He'd been cold all them days. But all of a sudden, Paul's finally starting to feel like a normal man again. And that's when snake bit. Yeah. But now tonight, this is where I really want to focus on. Not only are you going to hold on to your honey hole by learning to move cautiously, but if you're going to hold on to your honey hole, and I'm not just going to preach this tonight as your church, but I mean the sweet. Is anybody living in the sweet refuge and presence of God right now? If you're not, you're missing out again. I mean, I know I'm preaching this as a tight ship being a tight in the church and the honey hole being, but listen, it goes further than just here. If this place is a sweet place of refuge, your life will be. If you're contributing here, that means what you experience here, you're taking home out there. And I really want to focus on this tonight. Let's look in verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. When the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer." Who are they talking about? The man that snake bit's Paul. No, they see the snake come out and bite him. And then this is what they say. "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Listen to me very carefully here tonight. If you're going to hold on to the sweet things in your life, if you're going to hold on to the honey hole of this church, number one, you got to learn to move cautiously because there is a viper, there is a snake that is looking to attack. But number two, you're going to have to learn to mute the comments. You got to learn to move cautiously, but you got to learn how to mute other people's comments. Now, I'm going to spend some time here tonight. You got to learn to move cautiously. Why? Because there are vipers. Y'all picking up what I'm throwing down? You got to learn to move cautiously. If you're going to hold on to sweet things, you got to learn how to move cautiously because there are vipers. But you got to learn to mute comments because there are voices. Anybody have to hear voices all the time? I ain't just talking about in your mind and struggling between right and wrong, but I'm talking about the voices of people that you actually care about. Yes, sir. Amen. They're all the time saying something. Talk about people you go to church with and you're trying to do right, be faithful to your church, but they're talking to you about the church that they're in here with you with tonight.
Yeah. Come on.
But they've got something to say, planting seeds of doubt.
Come on.
You better learn how to mute the comments.
Yes,
I'm going to tell y'all something. I'd have raised the white flag and quit many years ago if I'd have let everybody's voice dictate what I'd done for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Boy, this is deep in my heart. You're going to have to learn to mute the comments. Isn't it amazing that they were so kind to Paul until Paul got snake bit? Matter of fact, the Bible said in verse number 1 or verse number 2, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. They received us, notice this, everyone. That means Paul. You ever had somebody welcome you in and then turn on you?
Come on.
I'm going to tell you what happened. You might shake off that viper, but you'll still listen to them voices.
Amen. Yep.
Paul shook the viper off, but he had to learn how to overcome the voices.
Yep.
Now listen to me tonight. You're going to have to learn to mute the comments. Can I say, most of the time, oftentimes, it is not the venom that does the damage. And I'm going to show you why. We might get sidetracked for about 10 minutes. We might. If you don't shout over this tonight, it's because you ain't never been saved. Where I'm fixing to go. I mean, if you just look at me, I am throwing something tonight. I want to say it like this. In all reality, we have overcome the venom. You know what the Bible said? That you don't have to fear, that you don't have to be overcome by the world because He has overcome the world, and because He has overcome the world, you and I can overcome. So the venom is there, but hey, we're not, if you're saved, we're no longer affected by the venom. The venom brings us no harm. We can shake it off. But I'm going to tell you one thing that's hard to shake off. It's not the venom and the viper, it's the voices. That's a little harder to shake than even the venom of the devil. The voices of people. We're going to take a little 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute detour right here. And if you don't shout, I'm throwing stuff. The Bible says, upon research, I want you to see, upon research, science says this. They have, and some of you already know this, but they have found that there's only one antitoxin. There's only one antidote for venom, rattlesnake venom, and that is this. It is simply the blood of sheep or the blood of the lamb. Right now, they will treat you. If you get snake bit by a rattlesnake, they will treat you with lamb's blood. Can I go on to say the blood of the lamb is what causes the poison that the snake or the viper, the serpent, what he injects into someone, it is what takes away its deadly power. It is lamb's blood that removes the deadly power of venom. People are literally saved by lamb's blood during snake bites. When snake venom is injected into the blood of a lamb, it immediately goes to work producing antibodies, which in turn combats the venom. These antibodies from the lamb's blood are then used, they're turned around, they're bottled up. The blood of the lamb is used to save lives. May I remind you, going all the way back to the very beginning of time, concerning mankind in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now the serpent or the viper was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden." Well, what happened? She's deceived by the viper, and the viper injects at that point his venom. That is why we are born a sinner. Isaiah 1:18 said, "Come, now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." How does one scarlet sin state change over and become as white white as snow. Well, the Bible said this, that after they had sinned in the garden, what did they realize? They realized when they were injected by the venomous viper, that they all of a sudden were naked. And so the Bible said that they went and hid themselves, and they clothed themselves in what? In the leaves of fig trees. It is the first camo leafy suit on planet Earth. They're trying to hide out from God. But what happens in the cool of the day? The Bible said that the voice of God began to walk in the midst of the garden, and he called out and said, "Adam, where art thou?" You don't think God knew where he was? Sure he did. But he wanted Adam to know where he was. The Bible then said that they realized, God told them, they told God they were naked. And here's what the Bible said. What did God do? Man's reaction to sin has always been to cover it up and hide it. I don't care if you're the pastor, the deacon, the treasurer, or the best member in the church. When you first sin, your natural reaction in the flesh is to try to cover it up. That's what your daddy Adam and your mother Eve done. But God will always uncover you. But then God did not leave them uncovered. But the Bible said that for the first time, there was shedding of blood. Some have their opinions on what that is, but I've got Bible for what that was. The Bible said in Proverbs 27 and 26 that the lambs are for thy clothing and the goats are the price of the field. I believe when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you can look right there and see that they were clothed with the blood and the skin of a lamb. And may I fast forward to some many years later, when the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ was out baptizing in the River Jordan, and he looked up one day in John 1:29, and he said, "Behold, not a lamb." He said, "Behold, the lamb which taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible says in Revelation 12, verse number 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, to deliver the child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven." This is your Bible. "Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," who is the serpent. "And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren's cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." 1 John 4:4 said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." We've overcome the viper. We've overcome the venom through and by the precious blood of the Lamb tonight. Amen. It's the only antidote for the venomous viper. Amen. And so here we are living tonight in victory over venom.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how we see that? Paul's bitten and shakes it off.
Man.
But then after the venom comes the voices.
Yeah.
Let's look. Verse 4. By the way, when we're living in Revelation 12, what I just read, y'all are going to be much more excited about it than you are right now.
Yeah.
Problem is, people don't see themselves in hell. They ought to.
Right.
For whatever reason, you think you deserve to be here tonight, but you don't.
Right.
For whatever reason, we think we deserve to sing, you know, I've never been sorry. But we don't.
No.
I mean, we deserve to tuck our Bible under our arm and walk in here and have us a nice seat on a padded chair, but you don't. If we got what we deserved, we'd have died by the venom.
Amen.
But even all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, when God shed a lamb, He was painting a picture of it 2,000 years ago. He would die and shed His blood as the Lamb of God, giving us power and victory over venom and vipers.
Amen.
We can't hold on to the honey hole when it comes to the viper and the venom because of the blood of the Lamb. But then we see this in verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. He shook off the beast in the fire and felt no harm. And I say, all of a sudden, all those good things they had to say about him, and those welcoming arms that they extended to him when they come out of the shipwreck, now the storm, now all of a sudden their opinions have changed when he's bit by the snake. Can I say this? If you're going to hold on to precious things and you're going to hold on to your honey hole, you must learn how to mute the comments and continue on for the cause of Christ. If they ain't talking about you right now, it's because you ain't doing nothing. I got more lies being told on me than you can shake two sticks at. You want to know why I'm trying to do something for God?
Yeah. Right.
I just quit, throw it up, the white flag, and go back to living in the world and drinking beer and chasing women. Well, they wouldn't say nothing about me. And the voices would be silent. The opposition would be gone. But because I'm trying to shake off the stinking devil and keep the fire built up and do something for God, there's voices on every corner. You're going to have, you know what you're going to have to learn how to do? Hit the mute button. Can I say voices sometimes have more power over you serving God than the venom does? The devil will strike you and you can shake him off sometimes better than you can those voices. All of a sudden they're accusing him of things he has never even thought about doing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a murderer. Is that sound familiar to anybody? All of a sudden you are accused of things. The devil spit you and you shook him off. But now somebody's got something to say about that attack. Well, you know that wouldn't happen if, you know, he apparently ain't in the will of God like he says he is.
Right, right.
Well, he should have died in the sea. He barely got through by the skin of his teeth, but vengeance is going to get him. Voices. I'm trying to move on because I got things to move on to, but I'm hung up. Why is it? Why is it, as Christians, we care more about voices than we do the venom? The devil hit you in the face with a 2x4. And you might get up and shake it off and go on. But one little comment made, it'll keep you out of church for 6 months.
Yeah.
Devil try to drag your whole family down. You'll fight him. But one family decides they don't really necessarily like you no more. And then you want to quit. Why is that? Why is that? I'm going to tell you why. Because whether or not we say it or admit it, This old phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a lie.
That is,
words hurt.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's things got back to me over the years you don't even know I know.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
Y'all have said something about somebody in this room, and if it gets back to them, it's going to hurt them.
Amen.
You know the quickest way to lose a honey hole? Be a voice.
Amen.
I got three of you that's going to have church with me tonight. The rest of you, I'm just going to have to settle down and preach. Why is it we'll come in and we'll shout over, we've got victory over venom, but we can't hardly say the same about victory over voices. You're going to have to learn how to mute the comments, people.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, brother, you know, they just ain't, I mean, I got one or two that stand with me, but the rest of them, they're just really talking bad about me right now. Mute them.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. That when I say mute them, it don't mean quit listening to them and run your mouth. The mute button goes for you and them.
Yes,
if you're really going to mute voices, not only do you tune them off, tune them down and turn them off, you tune you down and turn you off.
Amen.
You don't go around blabbering about everything.
Right.
Yeah. One of the major red flags that I have seen over the years is when somebody wants to talk, and tell everything.
Yeah.
You make me nervous. Because if you'll tell that, you're going to tell something that's going to take place here too.
Yep.
Boys, hurts tonight a little, don't it? Stings. But I'm trying to tell you how to hold on to your sweet place of refuge.
Yeah.
Your honey hole. You're going to have to learn how to mute the comments. And can I say, if you'll do this the right way, thirdly, not only in order to hold on to your honey hole must you learn to move cautiously and learn to mute the comments, but you're going to have to learn how to maintain your character. Look at verse 5. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm.
Yeah.
Notice this. These people changed their mind with every moment. Verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down, dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds again.
Yeah.
And said that he was a god. Welcome. He's a murderer. He ought to die. He should have died in that seat. He's a god. You notice how you respond to things changes the minds of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know how you're going to win your enemy and those who are in your corner?
Yeah.
Maintaining your character.
Yes, sir.
We've got people say things about me because they think they know me, but they don't know my heart. You got things. You got people say things about you because they think they know you, but they don't know your heart.
That's right.
You know what you're going to have to learn how to do through storms and shipwrecks and snake bites? You know what you're going to have to learn how to do when you got to deal with vipers and venoms or voices? Maintain your character.
Yeah.
Notice what Paul did when that snake bit him. He shook it off.
Yeah.
You know what most of us would have done? If we'd have been bit by a snake and it didn't harm us, we wouldn't have shook it off, we'd have showed it off.
Right.
Look at this.
Come on. Yeah. You're right.
See them two things? I got them in my back pocket. I just carry them around. It can't hurt me. Pull out that sniper. Y'all see them out there? See them marks? Survive a snake bite. That's what 98% of Christians nowadays would do.
Right.
They'd show it off, but that's what Paul done.
Amen.
He shook it off. He went back to building fire.
Amen.
Went back to putting everybody else before himself. And they looked at what should have killed him. When it didn't, the Bible said they watched him for a while.
Yeah.
Look at verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen. Or falling down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great... You know how you're going to win people? You know how their voice is going to quit, their opinion is going to change of you, and ain't going to come overnight.
Right. Right, preacher.
You're going to have to maintain your character for a great while.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's some people, they want to come to this church, the only reason they hadn't is they're still watching us.
Yeah.
You don't believe that, but I know it. Or just watching. There's some people when we first started come because it was exciting and new. Most of them still, they're not here no more. Then there's some that God's grew this thing just little by little. And that's how genuine growth takes place. You know, they were looking for swelling. Swelling's instant growth. You know what happens to swelling, don't you? It always goes back down. At times, I wish the church would swell to make me feel better about matters. God's not interested in swelling a church. He's interested in growing one. Hey, some of you sitting here tonight, I've been contacted and talked to about you. Some of you came to me yourself. Told me how awful you are. How worthless you are. You know what I'm looking at doing? Watch.
Yeah.
I can't listen to every voice I hear.
That's right, son.
You want to prove what's being said wrong?
Yep.
Outlive it.
Yeah.
Had a preacher tell me one time. He didn't want me no more. I hurt. Said I'd never mountain up. Said I wouldn't make it 2.5 years and end with this church.
Sure
did. You know what I used that for? Motivation.
Yes, sir.
Because the man knew a whole lot about me. He didn't see my heart. And that voice for a long time troubled me. But you know what I've had to learn how to do through the years? Maintain my character.
Amen.
I see that preacher. God is my witness. He can kill me dead. I've not one time ran him down. Just a couple months ago, one of my dearest friends in the whole wide world was approached. You good friends with Brother Josh Griffith, ain't you? He said, oh, one of my buddies. I could tell you a few things. Didn't know it from Adam. Brother John said this. He said, well, sir, before you go to telling me some things on Brother Josh, I just want to let you know for 8 years, we're super close for 8 years. He said, I'm talking about in the fishing boat close. Stays the night with me every year. Stays a couple, 3, 4, 5 days with me. We go on a fishing trip, big fishing trip every year. Hunting hours in the woods. I mean, if anybody's had an opportunity to say something negative or bad, it'd be him. But for 8 years, I'm not bragging on me, I'm just telling you what character it is. He said, I know every intimate detail about that boy. But I can tell you, sir, before you go to telling things about him to me, for 8 years it's been brought up and it's been mentioned, but not one time has he ever said one negative thing about you. And that's the truth. But let me tell you something. Men at best are still men.
That's right.
And I failed him and he's failed me. But you know what? I have a conscious decision to make. Am I going to focus on how wrong that man that I love, in my mind, how wrong he done me? Or am I going to focus on the 20-some-odd years that he invested in me? That's what I'm going to focus on. You know why? Because it's my character that's being put in question. Hey! I don't care how wrong somebody's done you, that same person has done you good.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you want to live your life focusing on a handful of wrongs or the whole heap of good,
yep.
Am I helping anybody?
Yeah.
But tell you something, you're not going to maintain your character if all you want to harp on is a handful of wrongs and forget about the heap of good.
Amen.
You know what I know? Matthew said this, whatsoever is bound on earth be bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth be loosed in heaven. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ over some instances in my life where the viper bit me, where voices haunted me. But on this side of it, I'm going to do my best to maintain my character. Listen to me. If you're in the wrong,
fix it.
Amen.
Did you know you can fix it on your end, even if they don't let you? You can still do your part.
Right.
If you leave loose ends here, there's going to be loose ends over there. God is going to sort it out.
Amen.
Maintain your character. You listening to me? If you all of a sudden decide this church ain't for me, don't leave here with loose ends. I'm taking a turn right here, but there's been a whole bunch of people left this church over the years, and ain't none of them left right. And they still is to the podcast. Because I talk to them every now and then, and they tell me what I've been preaching on, so I know they're going to hear it. But I've told them, when they left, they ain't leaving right. You don't just up and vanish. First of all, God ain't never going to lead you away from this church until He's led you to a church.
Do
you know that?
Do
you know it's not the will of God for you to just be bouncing around? Did you know looking is not the will of God?
That's right.
I'm trying to help you people tonight. If you are part of this church and you think it's time to leave, you need God to show you where you're headed.
Amen.
You stay put and shut up till He does.
Amen.
And obviously I can prove it to you in the Bible. He ain't leading you down the road where they go against everything that Bible teaches.
Yes. That's right.
God ain't leading you to that mess.
Amen.
You know the truth. You're in right doctrine. God's not leading you down the road where you can hide.
Amen.
You know the big churches, you can hide in them. You can fly under the radar. They don't know if you're there or if you're not there. These churches, everybody knows if you're there or not there. They don't know if you're living right or living wrong, but everybody can tell you, fellowship handshake, if you're supposed to be where you are or not.
Yeah.
You can't hide in these places like this.
That's right.
Most people, when they leave good Bible believing Baptist churches, they end up going somewhere where they can fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Where nobody knows who they are or what's going on. That's not God's will for you. You know what you need to learn how to do in all areas of life and Christianity? Maintain your character.
Yes, right.
If I have wronged you, come to me. I'm not meaning this mean or arrogantly. If I have made you doubt or created a question whether this is the right place for you, come to me. Don't go to these other men. Don't go to these other ladies. Well, I just don't know Brother Josh. You know, I just don't know about that. You're so in discord.
Yeah. Come on.
I pour my heart out to you every week, and I will be wrong at times. And I will do things that are not right. And I will say or maybe or do something that puts you in quick. Come to me.
Amen.
Talk to me.
Amen.
Go to your brother.
Yeah.
Go to your sister. Maintain your character. I'm going to tell you what happens when you start harboring things. Then voices get louder and louder and louder. And the next thing you know, you respond off how you feel. It might not even be true. And it don't take one family. It don't take one group of families. It takes one person to make the whole thing go shipwreck.
That's right.
Just takes one of us. Notice I said us. Do you know the greatest way to lose the honey hole tonight? It starts with me. Me.
Amen.
I can ruin it for all of y'all. It starts with you.
Yeah.
You can ruin this for all of us.
Amen.
So how to hold on to it? Maintain your character. When they were talking, he wasn't listening. And he wasn't talking back. When the Bible bit him, he shook it off. He didn't show it off. Did everybody see that? And then in verse number 6, after they watched him for a long while, a great while, the Bible said, their minds changed. Do you know my one area, maybe I have an area of flaw, does not define me. Do you know that? And maybe your one area of flaws does not define you. Can I say we all have struggles?
Oh, yes.
Don't mean I'm fake, and it don't mean you're fake.
Right.
Don't mean I'm a hypocrite, and it don't mean you're a hypocrite. It don't mean I'm phony, and it don't mean you're phony. It means we're human. Maybe we're losing the battle in our flesh. I'm going to tell you all right now, it's obvious. You know what I lose all the time in my flesh? worry.
Yeah.
Folks are going to have to go, Lord, I do this, Lord, I do this. Because I'm worried to death. That's one of my flaws. I have faith that God's going to take care of it, but it takes me a minute to get around to it. Now that's one of mine. Now maybe you just, I believe God, I believe His Word is true, and you just go, I mean, praise the Lord for you. But you got one too.
Right, that's right.
You got a flaw somewhere.
Yeah.
And I got a flaw somewhere. And the best thing we can do is deal with our flaws and not worry about everybody else's flaws.
Yes, sir.
And maintain our character.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's watching you.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm watching you.
Amen.
And you're watching me.
Yeah.
And we should be. But we don't need to take it to the extent that I'm more worried about you than I am me, or you're more worried about me than you are you.
Oh, yeah.
Maintain your character. I love how Brother Mike Norman says it. Those of you that know him, he says this. He says it very simple, but it's so very true. Somebody needs to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Might as well be you.
Yeah.
Some of y'all have predetermined thoughts about so-and-so. About me, about your neighbor. Quit worrying about them. Shake off the viper. Mute, tune out the voices. And maintain your character.
Yeah.
Can I say it like this? And I'm almost done tonight. Paul's practice was more admirable than his preaching. When he got bit, he didn't go into a temper tantrum. Some of us would have showed it off. Like, look, the thing bit me, didn't hurt me. Look who I am. Or some of us, I need a little help right here on a Wednesday night. Don't check out on me. Some of us would have fell down and died and moaned and cried whether it hurt or not. We'd have put the biggest show on ever was. And y'all ever act out and really ain't even nothing wrong? Most people, it's one or two ways, one or two ditches. But I'm telling you to live in the middle of the road. Maintain your character. Paul, what did Paul continue to do after being snake bitten, after they accused him? How did Paul maintain his character? Number one, he continued to be a worker.
Amen.
Verse number three, Paul started gathering sticks, best I can tell, through the snake bite, through the viper, through the voices, through the accusations. Paul's still working on the fire. Paul maintained his character because Paul continued to be a worker. Paul continued to be a witness. Verse number five. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He didn't feel no harm, and he didn't act like he felt no harm. I ain't gonna get a raise of hands right here because it embarrasses. But any of y'all ever just act like something's killed you and really it didn't? Any of y'all ever had to go or leave, be gone from a place? It was time for you to go, but you didn't go out quietly. You had to go out like it's killing you, and really it wasn't. Just to get attention. Some of y'all have physical elements that you deal with. You know it, we know it. Why y'all time got to make a point? You know what Paul done? He just been snake bit.
Yeah.
Back to working.
Yeah.
But back to being a witness. Listen to me. I know we're going to go through things. We're going to have hurt. We're going to have times in our life where we've got things that don't feel good.
Yeah.
But we're not living for us.
Amen.
Go back to working. Go back to being a witness. How did Paul maintain his character? Paul continued to be a wonder.
Yeah.
Verse 6. After they had looked a great while, then their minds changed. Can I say, seeing that all Paul had been through, yet seeing Paul continue to go on, it left them in awe. He was a wonder. You know what people cannot fathom? How you can endure things that you endure and just continue on for Jesus? But sometimes you being a wonder and you being a witness and you being a worker is the very thing that's going to get them on board, and they're going to become a part of the family.
Amen.
Just because you maintained your character.
Oh, yeah.
Some people will only be won by your life.
Listen to me, I've said it to these preachers, now I'm going to say it to you. You preach louder with your life than you ever will with your lips. I don't care if I come in and preach the greatest outlines you've ever heard in your life. If I don't live what I'm preaching, who cares? Same thing for you. Paul maintains his character. In closing, I'll say it like this, and I'm done. Don't forfeit your hunt. Don't give up those things that are precious to you. Hold on to them. Keep them. How do we do it? By moving, learning to move cautiously. There is a viper. By learning to mute the comments, there are voices. Learning how to maintain your character, that's how you gain and keep your victory. So I want to ask you tonight, and I'm done, Brother Chris, come. Who is it that's here and says, "Preacher, I've had to deal with all of that. Snake bites. Vipers. Hey, we can shout, we've overcome the venom. The venom don't have power over us. Just like it didn't Paul. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. But I'm going to tell you one thing that does hinder us. Even when the venom don't, the vipers don't, is the voices. How do you overcome the venom and the voices and have victory? You're going to have to learn how to move cautiously. You're going to have to learn how to mute comments. You're going to have to learn how to maintain your character. Say, "Preacher, I'm hurting. What do I need to do?" Go back to building the fire. Don't go around work and Facebook and tell everybody how many snake bites you've had and how many people's talking about you. That's not how you maintain your character. You know what you do? You go back to that little fire that God's let you contribute to. Listen to me. We're not done. I need you to listen. You know what everybody here, what your job is tonight? You know what we're called to be? A light. Fire. You know what we should all be doing tonight? Working on keeping that flame burning. I ain't nothing but a little old stick gatherer. And I want to be one for His glory. I ain't much. Every week, if God will give me the chance, I'll just take my little pile of sticks, throw it on the fire. And you say, "What do you do after that?" When you reach down and get some more, the snake bites you. What do you do, preacher? Do we shake it off. Say, "He went through a lot more than that for me. Go get you another bundle." And while you're walking to the fire, you hear him. He ain't what he says he is. She ain't what he says. She says she is. Hey, I mean, vengeance is going to get them. They ain't who they act like they are. What are you going to do? Turn around and fuss with them? Throw your sticks down? No. Just mute them. Know what you're doing every time you walk in here, John Trapman? Take what little bit you got to offer. Brother Sean, I'll tell you how you need better help. Take what little bit you got to offer and bring it to the fire. Men and women, God's not asking us to change the world. That's His job. He's just asking us to be light. Build the fire and keep the fire burning. You're going to deal with vipers. You're going to deal with voices. But you can't have the victory. Just do what you're supposed to do. Well, Brother Seth, I thought he... Don't worry about Brother Seth. Worry about you. You know what Brother Seth's job is? Same thing as my job. It looks a little different. But by him coming in and bringing his little green, ugly little journal book to keep records or write sermons or bring his little Under Armour bag or packing a guitar in that he cannot keep the G up string on from breaking. You know what he's supposed to do? Sunday, come back with his stupid butt duffel bag and his ugly journal and his guitar that he can't keep the strings on. And he's supposed to count the money, and he's supposed to play,
ain't supposed to say amen. They ain't supposed to go home. And then on Monday morning, his tax may look a little differently, but he's got one job to do, and that's just to be a Christian and show the world Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing Monday, even when he ain't here? He's walking around with a bundle of sticks. You know what we're supposed to be doing, Caleb? You brought that boy in, gathering another stick and putting your bundle. And we do it to the day that we die. Brother Jeff, he's not asking us to be heroes. He's the hero. He's not asking us to be Superman. It was a good day in my heart when I realized this all ain't on me. I took the church and responsibility of it, and I still do it at times. And I put it all on my shoulders, and I can't bear it. But it ain't mine to bear. It's his. All I am is sitting there. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to hobble in back doors with bad feet and diabetes and drive them youngins in every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and bring your little bundle of sticks. Is this helping anybody? I ain't nothing. Yes, you are. You're a stick gatherer, just like me. Autumn, what are you supposed to be doing? Come in here with your beat up car, arguing and raising hell all the way down the road with your sister. Fussing and fighting, whatever y'all do. That's what me and my sister were doing. And you just ease in. You ain't got much to bring. You got as much as I got. You know that? Ray Reynolds, you got as much to offer God as I do. I'm just a stick gatherer. That's all I am. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes I'm down on them sticks, I get steam built. Sometimes it ain't the meal that gets me, it's the voices. Who does he think he is? We know who he really is. What do? You know. Just keep bringing these sticks. Brother Jeff, that's all we got. We're just gathering as much as we can and bring them in here. Trying to burn bright so this world can see there's still light. We're not putting on a concert to offer people hope. You with me? We're not trying to entertain them into filling a seat and then giving them some false sense of hope. There's only one answer to all of those problems, and his name is Jesus. Donald Trump is not going to fix Washington. There's nothing going to fix America outside of the Lord Jesus. When people decide they want God, our nation will go up. Until then, I don't care who's running the mess. We're going down. But while the world goes down, I'm trying to shut up. The church, as the world gets worse, the church is going up. One of these days, God's going to say, "How all I can take, go get them." You know what the Bible says we're going to do with that judgment? Our lives are going to be tried by what? Whether they be wood, hay, and stubble, which will burn up, or gold, silver, and precious stone. I want what little bit I have offered here to last forever. You know God's not going to see how many approvals and likes I got down here for preaching. It's not how he's going to judge my preaching. You know what he's going to do? Was you faithful to say what I wanted you to say? Did you yield yourself to me? Did you preach what I wanted and not what you wanted? Did your life match your lip service? Did your life service match your lip service? And it's either going to burn up or not. Turn them off. Shake them off. Go on. For the Lord, I'll let you stand. Father, we love you. I've done my best. Take my feeble efforts. And bless them, please, Lord, in Jesus' name.